What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The biggest thing that this is going to do is allow professional baseball players to concentrate on being professional baseball players during their career.
Welcome into another episode of Baseball America's From Phenom to the Farm. I'm your host, Kyle Banduho. Today we have the first returning guest in From Phenom to the Farm history, former Brewers and Oklahoma State right-hander Jonathan Perrin. Jonathan joined me about 2 years ago to discuss his career going from Oklahoma State to the Brewer system to his post-playing career in finance. We talked a lot about the financial aspect of baseball, specifically the minor leagues. Well, Jonathan is a certified financial professional who works with many of the organizations, including More Than Baseball, that helped make the first minor league baseball collective bargaining agreement happen here recently. So we're here to talk about that. We're talking about the biggest wins of the CBA for minor leaguers, what it means for players current and future, going over some of the new benefits, why this is better than just a salary increase. The salary increase is great, but a lot of great benefits for minor leaguers here. How this is going to impact players when it comes to making that signing decision in the draft, high schoolers, college juniors, and seniors, and how this new reality changes that calculus and how it makes minor league baseball just more of a viable job. It was great to have Jonathan on, have his insight. He works with these organizations that have bargained for these labor improvements. He also works with players on their finances, so really great perspective there. We also talk a bit of opening day, kind of what are those first few weeks like for minor leaguers, especially what were they like in Jonathan's time when housing was not provided. So a little bit of that, Leo, mix and match. It's pretty heavy on the CBA, but we do get a little bit of the first weeks of baseball season things from Jonathan, but it was great to have him stop by. Always great picking his brain on the financial side of baseball. If you enjoy this episode, episodes of From Phenom to the Farm drop every other Tuesday. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast and go check out past interviews. They're all mostly evergreen, including Jonathan's from July of 2021. So if you enjoy hearing him talk about finance, we got a whole nother interview for that. So go check that one out. If you haven't yet, leave a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Also, make sure to subscribe to baseballamerica.com and the BA podcast feed for all amateur baseball and prospect news. We're now in minor league and MLB season. Check the hot sheet, MLB fantasy news, plus college baseball is in the thick of conference play. There is a lot of good stuff going on at Baseball America. And with that, let's talk to Jonathan Perrin. All right, returning to From Phenom to the Farm, the first repeat guest we have ever had on the show. We had him back, I think like a year and a half ago or something like that, to talk about his career as a former Brewers farmhand and Oklahoma State right-hander. And he is a certified financial planner, so perfect person to talk about for our subjects today. It is Jonathan Perrin. Jonathan, welcome back to From Phenom to the Farm.
Hey, appreciate it, Kyle. It's an honor to be the first repeat offender on the podcast.
I mean, I couldn't, after the week we've had, the last few weeks for minor league ballplayers, I couldn't think of something more, someone more perfect to have on. You have stayed connected in the game. Not only do you have experience, you know, actually playing in the minor leagues, you have your, you know, like I said, a certified financial planner. You have experience in the financial aspects and what we've seen, you know, for decades, hardships of minor league baseball. And you also work with, you know, have worked with the, you know, the minor league, the what is now, I guess, the minor league players union, and working, you know, being a voice and getting some of these changes made. So, I'll kick it broadly to start. Your first reaction when you saw that minor leaguers this year would be playing under a collective bargaining agreement?
Just happiness, real. Just this has been a huge project for so many people throughout the game of baseball for 5, 6, 7 years now to get to this point. So it was really just a huge victory, a big week for the Grinders. You know, the CBA got ratified. Contracts are going up anywhere from 100 to 350%, depending on the level. And in the same week, you also had the Seni versus Office of the Commissioner of Baseball lawsuit, the class action lawsuit, get approved by the judge. And $185 million total, about $120 million of that going out to players for back pay for unpaid spring training for the prior decade, too. So just a lot of awesome developments for the lifestyle that is being a minor league professional baseball player.
What to you were the biggest... the biggest headlines coming out of the CBA that you think will be the biggest things that improve quality of life and just the quality of what this job is for minor league baseball players? And then something we also talked about is that, like, if what I think holds true in every industry, if you invest in your employees, you're going to get a better product out of it. So what do you think makes life better for these minor leaguers, the big headlines there? And what do you think baseball will get out of this?
I think you nailed it with the investment in the players. And the number one headline has got to be the salaries. I mean, you're looking at AAA going from a minimum of $17,500 to over $35,000 now. Double A players are going to make more than $30,000, high A's at $27,000, low A's at $26,000, and even rookie ball's at just a click under $20,000 at $19,800 now. So again, 100 to 350% increase in salary right off the bat. One, those numbers are eye-popping from a percentage basis, but it should be eye-popping in the fact that, wow, those were really low before. Now they're just kind of like more normal, like where you can actually live off of it. So that's definitely the number one thing that pops off is guys are actually going to be paid a semi-decent amount of money to be an elite level athlete now at the minor league level. And then the auxiliary benefits as well, housing policy, which they had implemented last year. We've got a lot of feedback through my work with More Than Baseball. We did a lot of surveys, talked to hundreds of players and their families, and they've really done a good job. I thought the MILB PA did a really good job upgrading the housing policy as well. You know, minor league opening day this week, right? That was the hardest part about spring training was you would not know which level you were going to break a lot of times until the last week of camp. And then now you jump and you had like 4 days to go find a house. Now that huge, massive stressor is getting taken off and guys are going to get paid a little bit more money. And also, in my personal opinion, the biggest piece is guys will be getting paid basically 10 and a half months out of the year. So you will start to see a $250 a week stipend in the off season as well, to allow guys to concentrate on their training.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit in our when you first appeared on the pod, and it's been kind of a running theme of the show, is for guys who are not high bonus level guys, that offseason becomes a necessity of you're working two jobs. You're trying to keep yourself afloat financially just with your livelihood, and then you're also having to train for this job that is not paying you. And when we look at that too, something that kind of came to my mind that I thought about is that what we've talked about too is that there are a lot of guys who finish playing baseball, top out in the minors, and then have to figure out what's next for them in life. And I think with this, with being paid pretty much throughout the year, or at least being paid a living wage, being able to focus on training in the offseason, it also allows for them, with a lot of guys playing the minor leagues do not have a college degree, do not have any additional training. This makes going to college or figuring out doing something while you're playing, going to real estate school or getting a trade light or something like that, I think it this seems financially to make the off-road for the large percentage of these guys who will not make their life's living playing baseball a little easier. Does that seem like it squares up?
I would agree with that statement for sure. I think the biggest thing that this is going to do is allow professional baseball players to concentrate on being professional baseball players during their career. You have a 6-week dead period from basically right before Thanksgiving to January 1st, where you're not getting paid through the holidays. But the other, what, 45, 46 weeks out of the year, you are getting paid in some point. $250 a week in the off season. It's not a ton. Probably not even really going to cover a lot of rents in most places, but guess what? It's better than nothing. And the fact that you're actually making a semi-decent amount of money without a housing expense during the season allows guys to have some flexibility to build up savings to help get them through to pay for training. So they maybe they only have to work one job or no jobs instead of two during the off season. And going back to that kind of case you made of investing in the product and the player, that's going to lead to better outcomes. And that's the thing that I've been really advocating for from a player development standpoint, is this going to lead to better player development outcomes, in my opinion, because guys are going to be able to concentrate on getting better at baseball, not just putting food on their table and a roof over their head while they're trying to just get to spring training.
Yeah. And there are talented guys who have given up baseball because they can't financially keep it up. And so this might reduce the likelihood of that happening. But one thing that I would say, obviously the big, I guess the trade-off with this is we saw a reduction of the workforce, with this CBA, the total number of minor leaguers in an organization. Was there anything else besides that that was deemed, I guess, from a labor perspective, a negative in this CBA? I'm sure there were things that didn't get done that maybe weren't, you know, that you would have liked but didn't happen. Was there anything, any other trade-offs given to, you know, to MLB or these organizations that could possibly have a negative outcome?
Yeah, the number one thing that jumps right off is the reduction of the reserve roster from 180 to 165. So across the league, I mean, you're looking at, that's going to be another 450 jobs that are going to get cut. I mean, but when you are talking about raising salaries at the magnitude that they have, I would say that the net overall payouts is going to go significantly up to players. The amount of money that is being spent on players is going up, but that is by far and away the number one issue. You know, you did have a CBA negotiate openly for a reduction in the total number of jobs. So I would say that is probably the big number one red flag. Outside of that, I honestly, talking with the people that have been close to the situation, I think this was a really solid deal overall for minor league players, because quite frankly, there wasn't a ton of leverage there. There was a lot of public opinion outcry, but I don't know necessarily from a leverage standpoint. Like, I do think that the MLBPA, MILBPA did a very solid job getting everything that they got put into the CBA for the players. Because it's not just salaries, it's health benefits, uniform retirement benefits now. And before, not every team offered a 401k. Now you're going to have a $2.5 million player pool allocated as a league contribution to minor league players. Guys are going to have the ability to be on COBRA. Prior to this, when you got released, you lost health insurance that midnight. Like, you were off health insurance as soon as you got cut. Now guys are going to be eligible for 100% COBRA benefit, 80% paid by the team for your dependents. So that's a huge improvement as well. And then also medical care. You were guaranteed 6 months prior. Now it's going all the way out to 18 months. I know a handful of cases personally where guys, they get cleared from a surgery, Tommy John, ACL, whatever, back. And then immediately, as soon as, you know, the doctor basically signs the paper, you're going in to sign your release papers, you know, and guys kind of just get kicked to the curb. So there's a lot more protections being put in across the board. So while they did give up some overall jobs, I think the net is extremely positive across the board for minor league players.
I want to talk through a few scenarios of types of players that this really kind of changes the outcome for, and possibly just kind of talk about the scenario. So the first one I want to talk about is the high school sign who signs for a solid six-figure bonus. I'm not talking about your seven-figure first-rounders. Every year, there are high schoolers who sign from anywhere between like $300,000 to $700,000 who decide that they're gonna take, you know, skip out on college ball, decide to start their professional career right away. You know, for a lot of those guys, that bonus was the last money, the last real money they ever made in professional baseball. Taxes get taken off right off the bat. And when you and I talked, you talked about with guys like that, you'd want to, you know, invest a lot of that and actually have something left over for when you're done playing baseball. But when the taxes get eaten and then suddenly you're pulling away from that money to survive, you've got 7 years on your first contract at that time. A lot of guys end up with nothing, with not really anything left. They end up 25 years old, didn't make it to the big leagues, no college degree, no prior work experience, and really nothing left out of that bonus. So how does this potentially change the life of the guy who doesn't make it to the big leagues?
It's going to change the calculus for sure. We're starting to have those conversations with agents where the high school $400,000 to $500,000 is cut, that classic tweener case where, you know, you really aren't, you're going to net out $275,000 to $300,000. And can you live on that for 7 years? Cause you know, 300 divided by seven is like 42.5. Like that's not much to live off of realistically. Now you've got the option of being able to make a semi-decent amount of money, being paid throughout the year. And a lot of cases, especially with these younger players coming out of high school, they'll go to these mini camps in the off season two, three different times, and they weren't getting paid. Now they're getting spring training pay, $625 a week for every week that they're in the camp in an off season. So it's going to change that calculus. I think it's going to probably entice more younger players to sign. I'm interested to see how that goes in the draft this year, to see if more teams are willing to be aggressive on high school players in that kind of like third through seventh round area, or if the college signings continue with the way they've been trending the last couple of years. I am very curious to see how this draft grows from that perspective, because I definitely think the calculus has changed, particularly for the high school guys coming out where they're in that $300,000 to $700,000 range. It definitely does start to move the needle more to where it could potentially be the right move for that player to sign.
Yeah, because it sounds like with this, between housing being covered and a living wage being paid, that this bonus can actually serve as a bonus, can serve as a post-career nest egg if you want it, or a, you know, a house or a place to live or some an investment in some sort of real estate where these guys can now leave baseball, even if they didn't make it to the major leagues or make it to a second contract or a foreign league where they've been able to actually increase their standard of living, where you can transition out of baseball and have something to live off while you're figuring that next phase of your life out. And I think that's a huge deal for any player, really.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, again, it goes back to, you're going to be able to save because you don't have the housing expense during the season. You're going to make some decent money. And the one thing that a lot of guys run into is, you know, that bonus gets paid out over 2 years, and then you don't have like hardly any income to show for it. So what a lot of guys in my world run into that I work with on the planning side financially is they don't have the income. Like even if you're in year three or four of your career, but you're still in the minors, you want to go buy a house now, you're ready to do that. You made $13,000 last year and nobody's going to give you a loan. So that's just one acute example of where this could potentially be a total game changer for some of those young guys. You know, as they get a few more years into their careers, to where it's going to be a huge net positive for them in those situations.
So let's go then to a scenario that you're extremely familiar with. Junior year guys who are kind of on the fringe of signing, the guys now who are those $125,000, the after 10 round bonus kind of guys, where you went, you know, you were able to negotiate a higher scholarship to return to Oklahoma State. But now what is that decision? What is getting the 125 as a junior or something a little close to that mean versus now staying for a senior year, potentially netting out with, you know, 20, $20,000 or less? Like, how big a decision does that now, or does it really change it that much?
Yeah, I think there's two factors to that question because of the NIL rules at the NCAA level now too. Depending on how good you are, how popular you are, and what school you go to, you may be able to make, you know, maybe not $125,000, but you may be able to make some decent money and have all your expenses paid for in school. So that's kind of where it really shifted in the advantage of go to school, because you had the salaries that were in place previously, plus NIL started coming into play at the collegiate level. Now I think that pendulum is starting to swing back to probably more in favor again of pro ball, where guys are going to want to sign. They say, hey, I can get $100,000 up front. I'm not going to make a ton of money, but I'm going to be able to pay my bills, you know, playing baseball. And I just want to go take my shot at pro ball. So I think, again, it's going to move the pendulum back in favor of pro ball, just because there's more resources now at the professional level than there ever has been before, where those resources were all in place at the collegiate level. Now that sort of thing is a little bit more even. And now it just becomes what is the best move for your career and what's going to give you the best opportunity to play in the major leagues.
So the one guy that I think could see a tougher deal with this, obviously, that, you know, is the senior sign, because like we've just said, this makes more sense for these talented high school guys to get into pro ball, for these juniors who are on the fringe deciding it's my turn, I'm going to take this. That reduces options for these guys who are a lot of times kind of the roster filler, the depth senior signs, these money savers, and there's less jobs. I'm kind of wondering, I mean, will we see just fewer and fewer of these guys? Like, if you're not drafted as a junior, if you don't sign after you're a junior, it seems like it's going to be slimmer pickings. But if you do get drafted or do get signed as an undrafted free agent, it's a much more viable way of life than, like, you signed as a senior. There are guys who have signed for $1,000 and then are living on, you know, below minimum wage. So it's a win for the guys if they can get in, but it does seem like there will be a reduction in opportunities for that. I mean, again, seniors just getting screwed. It's kind of the theme of the draft.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I mean, there's not everybody can win, unfortunately, in any situation. There are the trade-offs, kind of like you said. So taking the roster cap down is going to impact that. They've already shrunk the draft from 40 to 20 rounds. So they're continuing to kind of squeeze the opportunities. And one of the conversations that we had with our More Than Baseball team was, there's going to be more turnover as well. I mean, you're looking at probably replacing close to 20 to 25% of the total roster every year between international free agents, the draft, non-drafted free agents. Like, you're going to see some more turnover. So I would expect to probably see your average minor league career shrink, especially for those guys that are not the big bonus guys. Because, I mean, it's no secret, if you're a senior sign, you have a contract. So captain, first rounder, $3 million bonus has somebody to hit off of. Like, that's what you're there for. And if you play well, great, you might get an opportunity. But it is going to make the barrier to entry for those guys a little bit steeper. But there's always going to be a place in the draft for senior signs, especially in the top 10 rounds, where teams take a senior, sign them for $20,000 in the third round so they can go spend an extra $300,000 or $400,000 on a, you know, maybe an 11th or 12th round pick, or overpay somebody you know, in the first or second round. There's always going to be a place for that from a cost-saving perspective within the draft for organizations, but it will certainly at some point kind of put a cap on the overall number of opportunities that guys are going to get to have.
Yeah, and we didn't really touch on the benefits for players from Latin America, but I mean, this is something I saw in an article the other day. I mean, pointing out that there are a lot of Latin players who most of their paycheck goes home, you know, goes back to help their family. So this is an increase for that. And one thing that I remember when I started this podcast, I was always like, man, if you get offered good money at a high school, you should go like get into pro ball. And I got swung on the pendulum the other way to college, especially for just how college ball is a little easier of a step into life. It's a little more structured. Whereas pro ball was very on your own. Something that benefits, I think, the high school signees and the Latin American guys is obviously the housing. It benefits everyone, but I can't imagine being 18, being from the Dominican Republic and having to figure out where I'm going to live in some small town in Georgia. And the transportation, I believe that's now a requirement to and from the field for low and high A rosters, where a lot of those guys are 20 and under. Some of them maybe have never driven, don't have a vehicle, something like that. So I think just making minor league baseball more like college in the structure of it and how it is more of a just making things easier on these guys outside of baseball so they can focus on baseball. Like think about when you got to Oklahoma State, you had your dining hall, you had your room set up, you guys, you know, it was easy to get to the field because it was on campus and things like that. And I think setting up more, getting rid of the off the field stresses will lead to a better product. And I don't think we've talked about food at all, but I believe in this, there are some provisions for better nutrition.
Yep. So it is going to be required that clubs provide the reading right off the document. Requirement that clubs provide full, nutritious, high quality meals before and after every game and workout. And there will be a creation of a joint clubhouse nutrition committee. So that having some uniformity across the quality of food, like you said, for younger players, especially, I remember getting to low A and yeah, you have a half dozen to a dozen guys, first or second year in America from Dominican, Venezuela, you know, Panama, wherever, and they don't speak a lot of English. Like they go to Chipotle every day because that's the only place they know how to order from, that type of stuff. Like that's going to relieve a ton of stress off of those guys. I mean, it's hard for the American guys. Now if you take not knowing the language, not understanding the culture, and being a couple years younger in a lot of cases than your American counterparts, I think for the Latin American support, those are huge, huge wins that I think kind of got swept under the rug a little bit with all the other big flashy stuff with the money and the benefits. But yeah, even just getting transportation to and from the field in a lot of cases, I mean, that was a struggle. You know, if you don't have your car or you can't afford to ship your car to the affiliate, it can get difficult and you're bumming for rides every day. And it can be stressful to have, you know, that dedicated person taking you to and from the field. Just another thing, like you said, to just allow guys to focus on the job at hand and being the best baseball player that they can be.
And it seems like holding up for 120 plus games is going to be easier when you're surviving off not just PB&J and concession stand chicken fingers after the game.
100%. I mean, you know, you expect elite level performance. Let's put some elite level fuel in that Ferrari. You know what I mean? I think that was a pretty much a no brainer. And you see the best teams. I mean, you look at the teams who've had the most success in the big leagues over the last 5 years, you go down to their minor league affiliates and see the money that they've invested in player development, nutrition, those different things. It's a direct correlation to the major league level. So I'm glad to see that's getting raised across the board. Cause I mean, I think personally, that was one of the things, even just 4 or 5 years ago, when we were talking about like, this is just so easy. And what team can't afford $300,000 to feed every guy on their organization two times a day, you know, like,
I mean, guys, you shouldn't have to hope for a big leaguer to get hurt and come down to rehab for you to eat good.
Right. Yeah, man. Hey, those big league spreads on rehab assignments, you lived for those back in the day. Now I'm sure, you know, you're still going to get that, but at least you're going to have like decent food the other 138 games out of the year.
Yeah. I mean, and again, you're, you're competing with the Oklahoma States of the world, the Vanderbilts of the world, that are feeding their guy and treating their guys like first class. And so if you're wanting to attract some of that talent to skip those colleges, it's just a no-brainer, especially again with this isn't even in the CBA, but the requirements of minor league ballparks that are increasing, you know, having a weight room on site and things like, I've had guys in this show where like, yeah, I had to get a membership at a Gold's, you know, find a Gold's gym in my minor league town to work out in. And like, that's crazy. Like it just seems like they're taking so much stress off the plate of these guys. And I think that's just going to lead to a much better product.
Absolutely. And one other thing too, talking about NIL at the NCAA level now, minor league players did not have their own NIL rights. The teams owned the rights to their name, image, and likeness. So now guys are going to be able to do some more stuff from a media perspective, being able to participate and meet paid media, potential TV, things like that. That's another one that just kind of wasn't really talked about a ton before this previous CBA, but even just having the rights to your own likeness now again as a professional athlete is a huge component.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just seems like it's a bunch of wins. I want to get into the second part, and we'll make it a little briefer because we're kind of bumping on time. Another reason I reached out to you is it's early April, and you had kind of referenced it earlier, the stress of like when you're about to break camp, figuring out those first few weeks of season at a minor league affiliate. And I think they've gotten rid of a lot of the big stressors, but can you throw me back to the dark ages of you're heading out to an affiliate and you're like, all right, Jonathan, you're breaking camp in high A, you're breaking camp in double A. What is the checklist? How much was on your plate besides just, I need to get there and compete against some of the best baseball players in the world?
Oh man. Yeah. That was the last week of spring training, man. It's just a madhouse. You know, first of all, you're just trying to survive. You're like, you don't want the farm director to top you on the shoulder, 'cause that means you just died, and then if you survive, then it's okay. Half the time they weren't telling you which affiliate you were even going to until, the last 2 or 3 days of camp. Like, you've been in the same work group or whatever for, you're in the high A work group or the double A work group for 3 straight weeks. And then a couple guys come back from big league camp, and then all of a sudden you're breaking with a lower level. Like, that happened to me my first spring training, high A work group, 3 straight weeks, get to the end of camp. Hey, you're going to go break with low A. Okay, I didn't know I was going there. I thought I had this apartment lined up in Florida. Now you're telling me I'm going to Wisconsin, and I got 3 days to find a place to live. So it's a totally different game. Like, it was funny. I was texting one of my clients. It's like, hey, you're going to double A, right? Like, you're gonna break with double A. He's like, well, I've been in the double A work group, but they haven't told us anything yet. And this is like 2 days before camp breaks. I was like, well, at least you don't have to worry about finding an apartment now. But it's still a little stressful. But Now guys are, the housing's already in place. You just get on the plane, show up, and then you get ready to play, which is how it should be. That's how it should be. You're there to play professional baseball. I'm pretty sure, I don't know if every single major league franchise is valued at over $1 billion, but a lot of them are. They can afford to put you up in an apartment and get your butt to and from the field every day. I don't think that's a huge ask, and I'm really glad that they were able to get that done.
Yeah. So, but you get to an affiliate. So I'm thinking about your stuff. You're planning on living here. I mean, obviously you'd like to advance, but at the very least you're hoping to stay here for 6 months. How are you, when you went to Oklahoma State, you probably packed up a car, you had all the stuff, your dorm room, then later, like your off-campus housing, some cooking stuff, your a bed, your utilities, like what is that like with minor league baseball? How are you getting all your stuff there?
Suitcase, baseball bag, a backpack, and a duffel bag. I lived out of that for 5 years, man. That was it. You live light, you live off of whatever you get. We always tried to find furnished apartments or housing when we could, but again, that made it more expensive. Couple of the apartments that I lived in, I'd never had the same amount of players and bedrooms. There was always more players than bedrooms to save money. And then also just, trying to find the furnished apartment. I mean, we would have 1 year in double A. I think my rent was like $950 a month, and I was making $1,700 a month gross. So, you know, after taxes, I think I was netting like $350 a month. So, you know, it's just a totally different calculus now for those guys. But that's, you know, and that's the nice part too, where double A, triple A, guaranteed to have your own room. Huge piece of that, you know, and then in low A, high A, you're no more than two to a room. So just making the overall living conditions a lot more, one, safe, and two, comfortable for guys.
We haven't really talked about the actual like on field, the playing of baseball much in this episode, but like you mentioned, you're working in the high A group all spring training, and then you ship out with low A. When you guys get there, there's obviously like, you know, if the first round picks there, like, hey, that guy's going to start, he's probably going to get hit high in the order. But how does everything else get figured out? Like, when you're on your way to low A, did you have any idea of what am I going to be on this team? Am I going to be in the rotation? Am I going to be the swing man? Like, how long does it take for all that stuff to get worked out?
Yeah, usually you're going to have an exit meeting in spring training where they're kind of telling you, hey, we're sending you, this is where you're going, this is where you're going to slot in, this is kind of the role that we see for you. You know, especially with the Brewers, I have a lot of respect for that organization. I think they're top class in that regard, and they do a really good job with the communication part of that. But yeah, you kind of know what, like, you can kind of look at, all you got to do is go on Baseball Reference, look at what round they got picked in, you know where somebody's hitting. You know, you sign, you've got a top 10 pick on your roster, that guy's going to play every day, wherever position his primary position is, he plays there, you know, and then everybody else kind of fills in around him. Same thing with pitchers, right? You got a high school pick signed for $2 million. He's going to start. He may only go three innings every start, but he's going to start every fifth day. So you kind of already know pretty well what's going to happen, but for the most part, they're kind of communicating with you on your way out with your exit meeting, or as you get to the affiliate with your manager, pitching coach, positional coach, they're going to start kind of helping you build a game plan. Cause that is the coaching aspect in the player development. Like, hey, we're developing you into this role. This is what we see for you as a potential major league player and how you can help the major league team contribute. So we're going to develop you here in the minor leagues to hopefully eventually fill that role.
The last thing I really want to ask about the first couple weeks of season and before, you know, and especially in your time playing, but now a lot of these guys, especially at the higher levels, have wives, have long-term girlfriends, have kids. What do these think about you? You said you've never had an apartment where there were more bedrooms than players. Yep. That is not conducive to having your wife come visit. And so we are now both married. That would not be fun. What does this now do for guys being able to have a life and see their kids and be present? And if you, it seems like reasonably, especially in the area of remote work, that in you would need some things to kind of even out and be worked out. But this seems like a way for guys to actually like live with their families during the season.
Yes, 100%. So it's going to, that was the biggest flaw that we, and in the housing policy from last year that we got feedback on, was guys with families really were kind of left out in the cold. You know, if you were a single dude, you know, that was fine. Like, you know, you're in a hotel room, it's okay. But like guys with families, you know, wives, children that travel, like they were kind of out in the cold. And then also with the benefits piece, like being eligible for COBRA, also having 80% of your dependents paid for through COBRA if you do get released. I mean, there's a ton of improvements for guys who are true professionals. You know, this is how they provide for their family. I mean, you are a professional athlete, like you are putting food on your family's table by, you know, throwing or hitting a ball, right? Like that is a huge improvement. To be honest with you, I think outside of just the straight pay increase, guys with families by far had the biggest W coming out of this CBA, because there are quite a few more protections in there, and from the benefits side as well, just being able to help shoulder some of the costs of making sure, you know, your wife and your child are insured. And even if you get released, you're going to be able to still have coverage, you know, while you're trying to find another job or, you know, figuring out what you're going to do next. So I think that honestly is one of the biggest wins for any demographic of professional baseball players, like the married guys with kids for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy that it took this long. It seems like it's a no-brainer, but it's weird to say. This seems just like a ton of wins just all at once. Just it seems like this is now a functioning real job, which is just bizarre considering where we were 5-6 years ago. I want to leave you with this. What's, you know, labor progress never stops. What are the next steps? What is, you know, it took a long time to get this, but what would make minor league baseball a better job?
Yeah, it's great. I remember about 5 years ago, they call this part-time seasonal apprentices, and that's why they got to pay us what they were paying us. So it's good to
shout
see
out to the Save America's Pastime Act.
Yep, exactly. So I'm very glad that this is becoming more of a true profession. I think looking out in the future, this is going to run through 2027. No strike, no lockout clause in there. I think the big thing is going to be the league is going to push for further contraction once the CBA is done. I think that's pretty much a done deal that they're going to push to probably cut high A or low A and just go to A, double A, triple A. From everything I've heard, the league has already been pushing for that. They couldn't win that, so they got the 180 to 165. I would be willing to bet that is right in the crosshairs of the league once this CBA expires in 2027. So I think from a labor perspective, the goal would be to protect as many jobs as possible from roster spots. There are some cost of living increases with the salaries over the next 5 years through the CBA, which is nice. So the numbers will continue to ratchet up with inflation. But I think protecting the number of jobs and opportunities at the professional level has got to be priority number one moving forward for the MILBPA.
Yeah, I mean, subject for a whole nother podcast, but reducing the number of minor league teams is just bad for baseball on so many different levels, from fewer, you know, less access for fans nationwide to experience professional baseball versus there are countless stories of guys who got a lot of big league time and were productive big leaguers who needed that extra time in short season or needed those lower affiliates to really hit the bell curve that it might have been, you know, it might have been a wrap for them if they had to go from the complex to A ball or double A or something like that. But you know, glad that's a fight that can wait a few years, but we'll have to do it then. Jonathan, that is all I've got for you. Where can the folks follow you? Because your social media is a good mix of just general financial advice and then also good baseball related finance stuff.
Yeah. Twitter, Instagram, jperrin46, LinkedIn, Jonathan Perrin. Feel free to follow, reach out, questions, happy to answer them. This has been a topic that I've been super passionate about for a long time. I am a very small piece in this puzzle. There have been hundreds and hundreds of amazing men and women that have been working on this project. Shout out Harry Moreno, Kyrian Lovegrove, Simon Rosenblum Larson, Slade Heathcott, just to name a few. Like, there have been so many wonderful people that have honestly sacrificed their playing careers to be able to make this happen. So I just don't want that to be taken lightly. There has been a ton of hard work, dedication, and sacrifice that went into getting this win. And there will be a lot more work, dedication, and sacrifice to continue to protect these workers' rights at the minor league level moving forward.
Well, I'm glad the first time you were on, I think we talked about how things could be better. And I think this time was a little bit more of like a celebration on a hill type podcast. So this was great. Appreciate you joining. That's all I've got for you. Thank you so much for joining from Phenom to the Farm again.
Appreciate you, Kyle. Always a pleasure.
Got it, man.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.